I really like those lyrics.
Speak to me. Let us pray. God, you are good, and we thank you for this day. We invite you to speak to us by the guidance of your Spirit, in the name of Christ. Amen. This last week, I have been overwhelmed with joy. The reason? I've had this just increased awareness of God's presence in my life, and it has just overwhelmed me with joy. So let me give you one example. I was at a friend's house, and his neighbor was looking up into the sky, and there was not a cloud in sight. It was sunny. And so this neighbor commented on how she really had hoped it would rain because it would wash her car and water her flowers. And I responded, well, you know what? We could pray it rains for you, but it stays sunny for everybody else. And I'm not kidding. No more than 10 minutes later, it began downpouring right there. Downpour for about 10 minutes. And that was it. Her car got washed. Her flowers got watered. And everybody else still had a sunny day. So this increased sense of God's presence isn't because of anything specific I've done. It just seems to be this random gift of God's grace. For some reason, the wind of the Spirit has blown in such a way that my faith has been kindled into something new. Have you ever had that experience? Just all of a sudden, you've had a renewed faith. Or that experience of being overwhelmed with joy because your faith has expanded. Finding enjoyment in your faith in Jesus Christ. Merriam-Webster describes joy in several ways. The dictionary says, joy can be an emotion evoked with a sense of well-being. Or joy can be described as good fortune or the prospect of possessing what one desires. Joy is also described as a state of happiness or even a source of delight. Do any of these definitions match with your definition of joy? Or how about how conservative theologian and pastor John Piper defines joy? It is a good feeling in the soul produced by the Holy Spirit as he causes us to see the beauty of Christ in the Word and in the world. Or we could describe joy as Theopedia Online defines it. It is a state of mind and an orientation of the heart. It is a settled state of contentment, confidence, and hope. It is something or someone that provides a source of happiness. What is joy? Last Sunday, we saw that there is a pattern in Scripture of joy being associated with reunion. The lost being found, the dead returned to life, and the absent becoming present. This joy was often expressed in feasting and gift-giving, rejoicing and worship. But the thing is, joy of reunion is a passing joy. It's based upon circumstances. It's not a joy that lingers. But today we want to focus on the more permanent source of joy, and that is faith in Jesus Christ. See, Jesus is that well, that spring of life-giving water. It's in him that we are nourished and we find our joy. Let's look at the scripture. Luke 2, 10 through 11. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. When Jesus' birth was proclaimed by the angels and shepherds heard them say, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. What was that good news? What is it that would cause joy? Their Savior, the Messiah, our Lord, would be born. Someone once claimed that a man laughs on average 69 times a day and a woman 55 times. Not sure how to take that. So it was summer, and this man, Donald Castle of Lombard, Illinois, was sitting in a waiting room, waiting for his doctor. And this older couple walked in. "Merry Christmas," the gentleman said to everyone in the room. Remember, it's summer. But his enthusiasm was infectious. And so Don looked at him and said, "Merry Christmas to you too." And then the man's wife explained, "I'm not sure why he does this, but all of a sudden, he gets the Christmas spirit. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's there." And at first, we dismissed it as a family, but then we realized how much joy it brought him to just suddenly be celebrating Christmas. So we started decorating the house. We started singing carols. We started having spur-of-the-moment family celebrations, and now we look forward to it. See, Christmas can come anytime and any place, and we're always blessed by the surprise. Have you ever interacted with a brand new Christian? Are they not celebrating Christmas? Are they not overflowing with joy and energy? That energy is the joy of the Spirit of God that has taken residence within them. And it can be a contagious joy. They are joyful because they have met Jesus Christ and they've been set free. They've had their eyes open and they now see the world in a completely new way. And they have this best friend who's absolutely great, Jesus. Their joy is contagious. So they understand an illustration offered by Jesus' cousin, John the Baptist. Let's see the scripture. Keep going forward. Thank you. So John said, "The bride belongs to the bridegroom. The friend who attends the bridegroom waits and listens for him and is full of joy when he hears the bridegroom's voice. That joy is mine, and it is now complete. He must become greater, I must become less." Like the friend, new believers have heard the bridegroom's voice, and they are ready to become less, so that Jesus might step into the proper place in their lives and become greater within them. For the last several months, I've had this interesting spiritual experience of really sensing God's presence, either when I'm going to sleep or I'm waking. You know, that's a time of transition in which we're letting go. We're entrusting our lives to God. Anyways, in those times of transition, I have really felt this intimate and full sense of God's grace. Sometimes we don't have the words to describe what we experience in faith, and the book of Psalms is a really great resource for putting into words. When we're sad, there's a prayer, there's a song there. When we're angry, there's a prayer and a song there. A great spiritual exercise is to read one psalm every day. Wake up in the morning, just read a psalm. Anyway, Psalm 16, 5 through 11 describes my experience. Next slide, please. "Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful one see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." Amen. So when you're struggling to find those words, open the book of Psalms and read through it and find something that speaks where your soul is. This one speaks of God's presence and the joy which it brings. I'd like to look at Philippians 2, 1 through 4 now. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and of one mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. See, Jesus is our source of joy. You guys got the point of the sermon today, right? We can enjoy Jesus. And Jesus invites us to thus place our trust in him. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Are you missing joy in your life? Is your happiness misplaced in something else? Your prized possession? Your role or identity as a single person, spouse, parent, good worker, good friend? Or perhaps your focus is in a different direction. I know I've shared this before and I will keep sharing the story, but when I was in college, the chaplain got up to speak in chapel and he talked about being a think too much person. And he said, the problem with think too much people isn't that they're thinking too much. It's what they're thinking about that's the problem. That their minds are thinking on the wrong things rather than the right things. Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So do you know what is true? What is noble? What is right? What is pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy? Jesus Christ. So when our minds get in that place and we're thinking all these negative thoughts and we're worrisome, we need to focus on Jesus. We need to open up and read those stories about Jesus in the New Testament and just keep reading and reading and reading and reading until that joy comes. It says the joy will come in the morning. So if we let our minds and our hearts and our behaviors and even our prayers remain focused on Jesus Christ, we will find that joy, because that joy is not based upon circumstances. We can be depressed and cry and still have this joy bubbling up within us. Hebrews 12:1-3. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning his shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In a few Sundays, we're going to also talk about joy in evangelism, joy in giving, and also joy in suffering. So for those of you who are asking the question, you're not addressing suffering. We will get there, okay? But the scripture evidence, though, is pretty clear that Jesus is the source of our joy and that the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives makes that joy consistently and continually available and accessible for each and every one of us who place our trust in Jesus Christ. Billy Graham wrote an autobiography called Just As I Am. And his ministry reached out to a lot of people in a lot of different circumstances. And As a result, he and his wife were invited to the Caribbean by one of the wealthiest men in the world. And that man invited them to his Caribbean resort, and the guy was about 75 at the time. And the man said to Billy Graham, "I am the most miserable man in the world. Out there is my yacht. I can go anywhere I want to. I have my private plane, my helicopters. I have everything I want to make my life happy, yet I am as miserable as hell." So while they were on this island, Pastor Graham and his wife decided that they want to go and meet some local pastors. And so they found this pastor who was 75. He was a widower, and he spent much of his time caring for his two ailing sisters. But this man was enthusiastic and full of joy. And he explained, "I don't have 2 pounds to my name, but I am the happiest man on this island." Faith, hope, and love. Joy, peace, and truth. God is the source of the qualities that you and I most desire in life. So whether we go with Merriam-Webster's definition of joy as being that sense of well-being, or John Piper's good feeling in the soul, or Theopedia's settled state of contentment, however you define joy, we know that the start, the source of that, is placing our faith and our focus on Jesus Christ. Let us remember 1 Peter 1:8-9. "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." Let's enjoy our faith. We're now going to sing "How Firm a Foundation." And during this song, I invite anyone who would like to place their trust in Christ to come forward. Anyone who would like to become a member of New Disciples by discipleship to also come forward and confess their faith in Christ. Let us stand and sing 3 verses.